Our first storyteller is Caroline Mitchell, and we first met Caroline when she was drawn as a wild card at one of our other storytelling events. That was the night where we told stories about fiascos, really fun. We thought it was time to have her back, so give a big round of applause for Caroline.
When I was in high school, I worked at a bagel shop, like your average high school student. But I also had a second job. I worked for the Division of Wildlife at the Foothills Wildlife Research Facility. I grew up here in Fort Collins, and that facility is out where La Porte dead ends, in the west end of town, out by the foothills. That facility has mule deer and white-tailed deer and elk and bighorn sheep and pronghorn antelope. My job there was to scoop poop and to feed the animals. And my favorite part of my job was to go check on each individual each day that I worked there. It meant that I got to spend a lot of time with a lot of animals that we rarely get to spend a lot of time with. I was able to have some pretty phenomenal experiences. I got to watch a bighorn sheep give birth. I can tell you that brand new baby bighorn sheep are crazy looking. They have these teeny tiny little spindly legs, and they have massive heads, and they have eyeballs that stick out even farther than their heads. But it was a pretty phenomenal place to work. Nonetheless, those animals are still wild animals. And when I was trained for my job, I was told that if an animal was ever going to be aggressive, it would likely be when our back was turned. And one of our strategies to deal with that was that we were instructed to carry the rubber bucket that contained the feed behind us anytime we were walking around in one of the pens. So the goal of the facility was to conduct research about wildlife diseases. The majority of the animals that were there are females. There were some castrated males, and there were some intact male animals. They needed to know whether the diseases affected males and females differently. So generally, we tried to keep our distance from the intact males, because every fall, well, we wanted them to retain their usual fear of humans, their natural fear of humans, because every fall, all of them went through a phase known as the rut, which is when all of those male animals had this surge of testosterone and just wanted to battle all of their peers for the right to mate. And they didn't know they were in captivity. Biology is biology. So working there in the fall was always interesting. So speaking of biology, I don't know if you're very familiar with pronghorn antelope biology, but if you're not, the way pronghorn antelope have evolved is to run at impressive speeds across the open prairie whenever they're startled. And it turns out that humans are very startling. So in this facility, the norm was that the pronghorn antelope were hand-raised from birth so that they weren't so constantly startled by humans, with the exception of the intact males for those pronghorn. Because again, we want them to maintain their natural fear of humans. There was a slight glitch in the system for the group of antelope that were there the time that I worked there. The males that were being raised by their mamas didn't survive. And so they had two males that had initially been hand-raised that they then reunited with their mamas, but they'd already lost their fear of humans. So those two antelope grew up to be Del and Dakota. They were adults by the time I worked at that facility. And Dakota was my favorite animal of the entire facility. I would feed everybody else before I got to his pen so that I could spend more time there. I would walk around the pen, and Dakota was always either right next to me or right behind me. And I would talk to him, and he was kind of like my like coarse-haired, pointy-horned dog antelope friend. But thanks, Junie. That's my daughter. But it was a pretty cool place to work, and Dakota was my buddy. So you can see why it makes complete sense that on one gorgeous Sunday morning, my senior year of high school, I was in a pen alone with an adult male pronghorn and my guard not up whatsoever. So that particular Sunday, I was feeding Dakota. I walked over to his feeding area and emptied the grain as usual. And I was walking back to the supply shed with the bucket behind me as usual, and Dakota was following me as usual, just another gorgeous day, when I heard this weird sound from behind me. It was sort of like a, whoo. It's kind of like that, but maybe not quite as dramatic, but enough to get your attention. And so I turned around, and there was my buddy Dakota, and he had his, can I pick this up? My lip? No, okay. I got the weird look. I'm not going to pick up the microphone. Sorry, I'm a mover. And there was my buddy Dakota, and he was all hunched down with his horns down like he was going to charge me, which he did. And all I had was my bucket. So it's like 17-year-old me and my rubber bucket and Dakota, who apparently thought that I was now competition. And so I had my the bucket in between his horns, and I was backing up towards the supply shed behind me. And, like, you know, I mean, all things considered for this situation, it was going reasonably well. You know, I was holding my own with the bucket. We were backing up. These sorts of situations, they feel like they take forever. I don't really know exactly how long it was, but, you know, we were doing this. And it was all okay until he turned his head and he got his horn under the bucket. And he tossed the bucket back. But I had backed up to where I was close enough to the shed that I could make a crazy, adrenaline-filled, superhuman leap into the shed door that I'd left ajar and slam it just as he got there. Okay, so that happened. Okay, so here I am standing in the shed. And what was I feeling at that moment, you may ask? In case you aren't asking, I'll go ahead and tell you. So one may think I would feel elation at having done battle with an adult male pronghorn and only a rubber bucket to defend myself. But that wasn't my feeling at the time. You may think I would feel anxious to go down to the office and call someone and tell them what had happened, because when I was in high school, it was the time before cell phones, and this was a Sunday morning. There was nobody else in this entire facility, and there probably wasn't anybody within a whole half mile. There's not a lot of people out where LaPorte dead ends. So if something had happened to me, nobody would have known for longer than would have been okay. But that was not my first priority. Nor was my first priority to do what, doubtlessly, my dear mother would have very strongly suggested, just to get on my bike and ride the couple miles back home, finish that day of work, and that is also not what I felt like doing. What I felt was fury. My friend Dakota had betrayed me, and I wanted revenge. And for whatever reason, my adrenaline-filled brain focus that revenge on my rubber bucket. I had done battle with Dakota. He had won. I had lost my bucket. That was clearly not okay. So I looked around the supply shed, and there was a metal snow shovel hanging on the wall. I know. It's like none of these are choices I would normally make, but adrenaline does crazy things to one's brain. So I grabbed the metal snow shovel off the wall, and I went back to the door, on the other side of which is a testosterone-filled pronghorn who views me as competition. And I opened the door, and I stood there, and I put that metal snow shovel over my shoulder like a baseball bat. And I, like, stood in that door, and all of my 17-year-old might yelled, "Get back!" He didn't move, but he didn't come closer, so it accomplished its goal. And I stepped out of that door, and I sidestepped over to where my bucket was, and I bent down, and I picked up my bucket, and I stepped back towards the door, keeping him in my sights the entire time. And then I stepped back into the shed, and I shut the door. I was victorious. I had my bucket. That's all. Thank you.